This NBA season, make every three-pointer, alley-oop, and buzzer beater even more exciting with FanDuel. You can bet on everything from first baskets and number of dunks to which player will drain the most threes. Or stack your bets with the same-game parlay for a shot to win even bigger. It's quick, easy, and you'll get your winnings fast. So download the app today and see why we're North America's number one sportsbook. Make every moment more with FanDuel. 19 plus and physically located in Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-866-531-2600 or visit connectsontario.ca.
Confederacy of Dunks, Toronto Raptors, Scotty B, we the North, baby.
Yes, get that garbage out of here. Welcome, it's the Confederacy of Dunks podcast. I'm your host, Andy Hull. With me here is Brendan Halloran. Freddie, everything's going great with Freddie's baby, but he's still out. It's called paternity leave. Look it up. But hey, we're here. Brenda, how are you doing? What's up?
Hey, I'm doing really well. We all know about it doesn't matter that you had a baby a month ago. You're still on those sleepless nights at this point. It really is crazy making. You are not in your right mind a lot of the time. No. And if you scroll over to Freddie's Instagram page, he's having some real deep questions.
Yes.
Can or bottle?
Like, that is a 3 a.m. you're up with your baby who won't go to sleep post on Instagram for sure.
Are you a can guy or are you a bottle guy?
I think I use cans way more, but I think if I can, I'm going bottle.
I think can is just way more practical. It's easier to carry. It's easier to stack.
But a nice
bottle sometimes is like, ooh, hey, where's this bottle been?
Like, if we're talking like pop, water, that type of thing, like a regular daytime drink, I take either or. Like, I'll do a can of Coke any day. Coke Zero mostly for me. But a bottle of beer is like, you don't do it that often, but it to me, it's a very nice, it's to feel the weight. I don't know. Yeah. I like it. There's something about it.
There's something about the different, like just the way it flows out. It flows out of the bottle a lot nicer than it does out of the can.
Interesting. I feel the bottle's like, bleh, 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 bleh. The flow is the worst part.
The bottle's nicer for like sipping. It's a nice sip.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. I mean, yeah. All right. Because I feel like the can pours out way faster, right? It's got that wide mouth, you know, and the bottle is like a weird glug thing going on.
Yeah. We also heard Jack Armstrong's voice off the top there. Did you know that I broke the Damian Lillard trade to Jack Armstrong?
I did know that. I think I mentioned this, but go ahead and tell us what happened.
I was producing this event that Jack Armstrong was speaking at. And this was right around the time that there was a lot of like speculation about Damian Lillard to Toronto. He was very involved in those rumors. And Jack Armstrong was speaking for literally only 10 minutes at this thing. So he was on stage and I was on my phone and I was like, oh, whoa, Damian Lillard's going to the Bucks. And I was like, oh, Jack Armstrong's on stage right now. He doesn't know that this happened. I was like, when he comes off stage, I'm just going to grab him and I'm going to tell him that it happened and I'm going to break the news to him. So he comes off stage and I was just like, Jack, that was great. Hey, Damian Lillard got traded. And he looked at me and he was like, oh, where? And I said, the Milwaukee Bucks. And then he looked at me and he went, holy shit.
That's a huge Jack like response. That's exactly what I would expect.
That's exactly what you want. He was just like, holy shit.
Whoa. Get that trade out of here.
Yeah. Holy shit. It was a holy shit moment. It was like the Bucks. Holy shit.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah, right. That's the kind of takes that you go for Jack Armstrong. I love Jack Armstrong. He's such a sport. He's really great. When I worked on, I was the head writer for Jay and Dan for many years. And Andy, you were in there while we were doing this bit.
The Alexa, the Jack Armstrong Alexa, or the,
it was like we did a bit where like Jack Armstrong was a home assistant.
Yeah.
And because obviously like the way that an Alexa or something goes like, hello, like, oh, hi, how are you? And then, they played it on the broadcast and Jack's he's the best. He's so fun. He's the greatest. We're so lucky to have him.
Exactly. Yeah, they showed that on the Raptor broadcast, right? Like, as they like, did. Here's the thing Jay and Dan did. Yeah. And the other fun Jack Armstrong bit we did when I was there on the show was the reverse Jack Armstrong voice.
Nobody liked that.
No, I know, but we definitely did. You and I did, because we were like, it's so weird. So when you're in, like, when you're in there in TSN and there's guys like cutting together footage for SportsCenter, you know, there's like, you can hear the, like, the stuff that when they're scrubbing through videos and stuff, and if they're going backwards, you fully hear the, like, you know, it sounds like that classic backwards voice. Well, I remember you and I in there, and we heard someone do it, and it was a Jack Armstrong call from the game that just happened, and like, we started laughing because it sounded so funny. Like, extra, like, if you think backward talking is funny for some reason, Jack is 10 times funnier when his voice does it. Yes, I'm on game.
That's pretty good impression, actually. That's what it was. And it was just like, and it would be like,
us trying to explain the backwards Jack Armstrong bit has also got to be really good, right?
People are really into this. This has got to be as good as this is the face that you're making at home listening to us explain the backwards Jack Armstrong bit is the face that everybody at TSN made when we were pitching the bit.
Easily.
They were like, what? And we,
but it was funny as hell.
But I was dying laughing at it. And I thought it was going to be a big, huge hit, and it was not.
It was not. It was just a weird sound that made us laugh, like, from our insides. Like, it was just like this something triggered to make that funny. But I guess not for everyone.
Yeah. I'd certainly been on the show for too long at that point, because I was just, like, out of my mind. Like, that's funny.
This deserves to be on television.
Yeah,
sure.
Let's put this on television. I think we called the segment "You Can't Do This on TSN" or something like that. Because I was like, I know the bosses are going to absolutely hate this because it's pure nonsense.
It's absolutely nonsense.
Sure enough, I'm pretty sure Ken Volden, the vice president, fucking hated the bit.
Really? Well, whatever. Nuts to that guy. It was a great bit. Brendo, our Raptors are you know, up to this point, we're still playing, and we beat Charlotte there. That was nice. You know, we lost to Dallas and everything, but we got an injury. It's injury time in the NBA. Truly, it is. Like, it's wild how many star players are out with injuries right now. Two of them out with broken hands, which is nuts. And yeah, that's our own, obviously, Scotty Barnes, out with a broken hand. Speculation was that, depending on what was going on with his hand, he could be maybe okay to go end of March, early April. That's, I think, out the window at this point, considering the surgery has happened. And I don't think the Raptors are going to be rushing him back for anything, obviously. Add on top of that, our boy Pert Plus is out with his sprained or dislocated pinky, and both of these injuries are indefinite. We don't know how long these guys are going to be out for. Again, I would speculate wildly here that Scotty won't be back this season, because why would you risk that? And Yak, who knows, right? Who knows with this type of injury? Okay, Brendo, what do we do?
We do the same thing. A couple of things here. First of all, I appreciate that they only really tell you about surgery after it happens. Mm-hmm. In a lot of these cases, you don't find, you know, you always hear, oh, surgery is an option. They're weighing the options. And then all of a sudden there's just a tweet that goes out and it says the surgery was successful. And I like not knowing ahead of time. I like not being involved in the decision-making process. The surgery is scheduled for Tuesday. I don't want to know that stuff. No. I find it stressful.
Would you be worried about the surgery? You'd be like, oh, I hope Scotty's like, you're out doing your thing at like 4 o'clock on a Tuesday, just being like, I wonder how Scotty's surgery is going.
You know, for a second, I think it'd be like, yeah, I don't like the anticipation of a surgery. Eventually will have to have a surgery in my life, I suppose. And I feel like I take that on, vicariously through that. So first of all, I appreciate that just everything went great. And that I just found out afterwards that he did it and everything was fine. Second of all, we're really going through some swings here on the Confederacy of Dunks podcast, because it was only 7 days ago that we felt that this team, we were not even just play-in tournament bound.
No.
We were picking potential first-round matchups.
We were talking about playoffs big time.
We were ready to go.
We won three in a row, and our heads were in the clouds, and we were like, okay, yeah, let's talk about the best-case scenario here.
We were sniffing those that Pico fumes.
Ooh, yes, that's right. Yeah.
Pizza, you know, we were really riding
pepperoni.
High. Yeah, on some thin crust, and now we're back, and now we're talking about lottery picks again.
We're back to reality, and we're back to talking about, will we be in that lottery? Or rather, not will we be in the lottery, will we be conveying our pick or not?
That's right.
Yeah, and, you know, I think there's some, I mean, people, you know, no, there's not. What am I talking about? I was like, there's some hope, no, there's not really. Scotty's out. He does everything on the team. You got to have Scotty. When Jakob Poeltl was out earlier in the year, we went like 2-11 or something. Like, we need Yak. We need a big, I mean, Kelly's here now. You know, maybe it's a little bit better shape just having our center out. But like, I think this is going to be a very interesting time though, because, you know, we're talking about developing relationships and chemistry on the team. And now we're basically saying, okay, IQ and RJ, like, this is now kind of your team for the next bit. And honestly, and Kelly for that matter, like, cause he's going to be our starter for a while. So these new-ish players they're running the ship now. They're running the show. Like, what are we going to see out of these guys? You know, I think it's overall obviously bad to have your players out like this.
To have your best player out, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. But I like the idea for development in that it's like going to help out some of the guys who maybe weren't going to see as much time. Like, we saw Oche get his first start against Charlotte, and he, you know, put up some good numbers there. Like, he had 13 points and 9 rebounds, and I didn't see anyone mention the term double-double, because I feel like double-doubles aren't really a thing in basketball anymore. They just happen all the time. No one gives a shit. Mm-hmm. Triple-doubles are obviously where we're at. But, like, do you remember when double-doubles were, like, a positive thing people would talk about? Like, it was, like, much rarer, I guess, like, back in when we were kids. Like, I remember a double-double was like, oh, you had a double-double tonight. All right. It's like, now that's just the standard if you started the game, basically. Like, you're just in the game long enough.
Yeah, there are the possession. There's just way more possessions in a game. There's going to be more rebounds. There's more assists to go around. I remember in the Chris Bosh days talking about how many double doubles they had, or Antonio Davis, how many double doubles Antonio Davis had, right? Like, obviously this injury news is quite bad. Because what this injury does is that it sort of puts us back into like individual development. So now we're looking for, can IQ be, more aggressive and succeed at a higher usage rate? And, is Ochai going to, develop into some sort of 3-and-D wing or like a high energy guy? We're back in like can individual players take a step, as opposed to this is like the, with Scotty and with Yak, that this is the team. And what you actually want to see right now is the team play together and build chemistry. Mm-hmm. It's not, to me, the interesting thing for our future is not individual individual development, individual progress. It's, does this team play together well, and can this be a good core that you're, because you're, we're going to have this core going forward for the next couple of years. Pretty much, I don't want to say guaranteed, nothing's guaranteed, trades can happen all the time, but like, it's gonna be IQ, Barrett, Scotty, Grady, Kelly, and probably Poeltl, because Poeltl's contract is not super tradable at the moment,
right?
So you want to see those guys play together, and that's why this is such a bummer. You want to go, like, because, you know, as high as we got on potential play-in type stuff last week, really this season is all just about seeing if these guys can play together. And we're being robbed of that right now. And I think we're going to be robbed of it for the rest of the season, because I do envision a scenario where we're far enough out of it that they do start shutting guys down, which is something that I came on this podcast last week and was like, we're not doing that. We're riding hard all the way to the end.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is how you got to ride the waves. These are the waves that we've been given. And I feel like the biggest bummer of this is not being able to watch them play collectively.
Agreed. We were starting to see flashes of brilliance, I think, and excitement. And I know for us, even though some on YouTube would call us Scotty Barnes, the number one Scotty Barnes hating podcast, which, you know, I don't think that's true.
It's not true.
I was loving seeing Scotty be a part of this collective, like group of players that is all coming up together and all figuring out their spots, because he's so multifaceted in what he can bring that he's like this, like, I mean, he's kind of an amorphous blob of a player in that he reaches out and can fill holes wherever and whatever you need him at the time, right? Like, he can just do a lot of the stuff, obviously. And we've known that about him for a while now. But it's seeing him be more and more comfortable with it. And, like, you know, there's something about, while he's our franchise guy, and obviously we're building around Scotty, not having... And I know that we talked about this a lot when the initial Knicks trade was made, but like not having all of the ball handling on Scotty, not now, like, you know, he's our only guy, not having all of the, you know, scoring on him even, right? Like, obviously we're going to depend on Scotty for scoring, but like, you know, he can have nights where he's more of a defensive impact and he's doing other things and other guys are picking up the slack. And obviously that's what you want with a team. Obviously we still want him to score, but like, you know, it was just nice to see that start to meld. And I think, like, you know, rising tide raises all ships. Is that what they say? So you know, as he gets more comfortable with filling in these other spots and being this really great, you know, all over the court type of player, everybody else's play just elevates. And then, yeah, and then his goes up as well. So really, I think that's best case scenario. I think it was starting to see some of that in our little win streak there. You know, it's not all gone, obviously. Yeah, it's a bummer, man. It's tough. Kelly's locked up for another two, though. What do we think about that?
Hey, let's go. Two more years for Kelly. Let's do it. Hey,
retires or after. Let's go.
When was the last time you thought about Don Cherry?
I haven't
thought about Don Cherry in like 6 years.
I think every time I do that, which is just...
Hey, we're going to get it.
Let's go! Yeah, Don Cherry can suck
it. It's too bad he's such a loathed guy.
He's a really awful person.
Because doing that Don Cherry impression is really fun. It's fun. Once you slide into it, it's just like...
We know about this guy. He's got to get in there. Let's go! It's fun to do. Hey, it's a lot like the backwards Jack Armstrong.
It is. It's just like rhythms and cadences.
It just sounds.
What were we talking about?
We were talking about where the Raptors are at. And we all know this. Guys who need to step up, our boy Grady, our boy Oche, you know, we're going to see these guys play elevated minutes here. Like I said, I think more minutes for them is still going to be a good thing, obviously, mm-hmm. for them. But like you said, I think it's a great point to make. Like, we're talking about more of an individual development path now for the players who are seeing these big minutes here.
Yeah, because to your point, like, you know, Scotty is so involved with everything that you can't even get a full sense of what the team actually looks like when he is not there. It's not like just removing like a scorer, because he is a scorer, he's a passer, he's a rebounder, he's a hustle guy, he's everything flows through him on both sides. So it's really, you know, you can't get a really good sense of what the Toronto Raptors look like when Scotty Barnes is not out there.
Yeah, and I guess we're going to see that tonight, because as we record this, it's Tuesday, and we're about to play the Pelicans, which, as we said last time when we had our full team, we thought might be a bit of a tough game here. We got a big team here in the Pelicans, some great players.
They did literally murder us in New Orleans last time that we played them. And we lose by like 50 points or something. Like it was bad.
It was very bad. It was a bad loss. And, you know, maybe we'll surprise them now with a different looking team. And maybe, you know, Darko's going to have us be doing some things they don't expect us to. Who knows?
Oh, right. We were talking about Kelly Olynyk. Sorry to go back, but I was just Kelly Olynyk.
Yes. Yeah. Locked up for two more years.
Let's go. Yeah, I think it's, you know, I think it's a good contract. I like that we have some sort of certainty around that. I think it works out to something like 12 point blah, something a year. Really good, even though he doesn't fit the timeline, as we've talked about on this podcast.
Yes.
There needs to be players for the Toronto Raptors.
Someone must play for
Somebody
the Toronto
must
Raptors.
Play for the Toronto Raptors. Yes. They can't all be 23.
No.
I like Kelly. He likes to be here. That's great. From Toronto. You know what? I really don't like it. So like Bill Simmons will go on his podcast and he'll be like, Toronto Raptors got traded for Andrew Wiggins.
Yeah.
He's Canadian, yeah. Right? And I always go like, fuck that. Fuck yes, you.
Agree. You I always
get,
yell.
At, we yeah. do not need to get every single, well, like, I sometimes get so mad because I'm just like, just because we're the Canadian team doesn't mean we're going to have every fucking Canadian player.
No.
Wiggins sucks, dude. We don't need him. Like, we don't have to take him just because he's Canadian. And then all of a sudden we get somebody like Kelly Olynyk and I'm like, oh, he likes you. Canadian guy. Yeah, like,
that's a pro. That's a good thing. Yeah, he's Canadian. That's Yeah.
So no, it's like the second that we get the guy, then all of a sudden that becomes a talking point for me.
Well, but I do here,
like that he's like, he seems like a very positive influence around the team. Plays the game the right way. He's going to move the ball. It's going to help the offense. And I love that he's going to be our bench center. I think that's great. I think
but it's when great. It's when someone's trying to like talk up a bad trade as if the Raptors should be happy that we're getting a player from Canada in the trade. Meanwhile, the trade is fucking awful for us. And it's like, why would we ever do that? Mm-hmm. I mean, looking back, Bill Simmons is the one who suggested like that Wiggins and oh my God, I can't remember the trade. He suggested a trade that went for Pascal that was so bad, and everyone was like, absolutely not. Why would the Raptors say yes to this? And now if you look back at that trade, you'd be like, I would have loved that trade compared to what we got. Like, would have been amazing.
Was it the Wiggins one?
It was, yeah. It was Wiggins. I can't remember now. It was,
anyways. Wiggins and was Kuminga in that? Because like any trade involving Kuminga, even at the time, I know Kuminga's like taking a leap this year.
Yeah.
At the time I was like, oh no, let's go get Kuminga for sure.
I think so. I believe that. Yeah, it must have. Yeah. Cause he was like, yeah, they get Kuminga and that ends the Kuminga experiment or something like that. He said something like that in the, when he was talking about it in, you know, and it's like, looking back. Yeah. Maybe that would have been a good trade. Who knows?
Yeah, but that Wiggins contract is like, oof.
It's bad, obviously. But like, here's the thing. Like, I know exactly what you mean. Like we should be so lucky. Oh, hey, you can have someone from your little country there. It's like,
yeah,
fuck you. Leave, you know, I don't, yeah. Just because they're Canadian doesn't mean I want anyone. I will take them though.
Yeah.
Sometimes. Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, anything else to add for the Raptors here? I mean, it's been a, it's a weird week for us emotionally, I feel like, you know?
Mm-hmm. It felt like we were on the path to somewhere, and now it feels like we're just sort of running the clock out at this point. And we'll see if this pick conveys. There's a lot of interesting stuff going on with the Raptors, you know, mm-hmm. and I've been reading all this stuff about, you know, our projected cap space for the summer and how we could potentially use that. So it's interesting to facilitate trades, bring players in. It feels like the team's going to be, I don't think we're headed to like a large offseason makeover in any way, but you know, bringing in a couple guys would be good. That's this was really profound insight for me.
I love it. It's very good. Hey,
you know, bringing in a couple guys would be good.
Okay. There was
a couple of guys part of the season.
Yes, we're at, yeah.
Hey, maybe we'll get a couple guys in the
zone. Hey, add a couple guys to this and see what they can do. Let's go.
Hey, okay. Let's go.
There was some other sort of like not hard Raptors news going on around here, but sort of around the franchise. Breno, you mentioned earlier is it possible that our Lord Tenenbaum is making a play for a WNBA franchise here in Toronto?
Yeah, I mean, that's the report. Fucking Larry Tenenbaum pile driving Ed Rogers through the announce table with this move. Ed Rogers leaked out pretty much that Ed Rogers is the reason that MLSE is not pursuing a WNBA team, which is the stupidest move. It's the stupid, like, it, say you are Ed Rogers and you are like, I am not a fan of women playing sports. Mm-hmm. That is probably his position I will venture to say, perhaps.
We're a fan of wild speculation here.
Wild speculation.
And that's what we're doing here.
And Ed Rogers is like, I will not watch women in shorts.
So Larry Tenenbaum hustle
is just anything. Like, yeah, it's just like, fuck it. He sold a lot of his MLSE stock. He has accumulated a stockpile of money, and it is apparently there's a CBC news report. Shout out to CBC stepping back into the sports news world,
getting in there.
That he is pursuing a WNBA team that he will own. Where will it play? Probably the Rogers or the Rogers. Probably the probably Scotiabank Arena. But maybe I guess
right.
Yeah, I don't know.
Unless I mean, maybe it's like
in Eureka, or like, or are they going to play it at Fine Foods? The Fine Foods,
The thing Rico. I mean, or yeah, that's true. The one out in Mississauga, yeah, where the Raptors play, not Raptors 905. Or I mean, there is the like the PWHL Toronto team plays at Old Maple Leaf Gardens there.
Yeah,
that is maybe a possibility. I feel like that feels small, though.
It is small because WNBA is a professional league. It's
for sure, exactly.
That plays in professional arenas, and you can't have a team here and then put them at Rico Coliseum or Coca-Cola Coliseum. I think that's what it's called now.
Yeah.
No, totally. They would absolutely need to play at Scotiabank Arena. But this is just such a no-brainer move.
I agree,
the popularity of women's sports is. Like from a business stand, from a sheer business standpoint, this is probably going to make you a lot of money.
Tenenbaum knows what he's doing here. I think you're right. It's absolutely insane that anyone from Rogers is like, money? No, thanks. We're having a hard enough time with all the money we're making off of our, you know, men's teams. We don't need to add more money to the pile. It's like, come on, guys. I'm excited. I think it'd be great. One thing I say about the WNBA is I both like and dislike the relationship the WNBA has with the NBA when it comes to its team names and jerseys and stuff. Mm-hmm. I get it, like from a marketing standpoint, like it's easier to sell the jerseys of your WNBA franchise if they're like, if they have a relationship to the NBA franchise. So the Sparks look obviously have the same colors as the Lakers, right? Mm-hmm. And that goes true for other men's sports too, by the way. Like when the Kings, look at the LA Kings, like they're especially their like start and where they ended up in the 90s. They just took the Lakers colors, like whoever in the Buss family decided on that, like smart move, because the Kings were yellow and purple when and then they started, and then when the Raiders came into LA very wild, very like smartly switched to the silver and black, right? I also like, I want a team to have their own identity, right? I don't want us to be like, you know, they're the, like, what's the one? I'm bad with the WNBA names. I did used to pay closer attention, but I haven't in a long time to, but like, there's like the Suns and then the Mercury. Cause it's like we're related to it. What do you want the WNBA franchise name to be, basically? Cause I wouldn't want it to be like dinosaur related. You know what I mean?
Oh no! Listen, if it's dinosaur related, that's going to be so lame.
I don't want
like
that.
The Triceratops.
Yeah, the Toronto Triceratops. I don't think so. I want it to be your own identity. You know, let's go with like this. Maybe I don't know if you want to do the red and white thing. I think that works, but like,
I think it's wild. I don't name wise. I don't. I don't know. I do think that they should probably have a Raptors-y type color scheme, and it's really strange that the Raptors are red. I just want to point this out because like a lot of the teams, like you're saying, will sort of adopt like sort of the same and were purple like back in the day.
Yeah.
You know, with the matching colors, Toronto is just such a, the Leafs, blue and white,
blue and white,
Blue Jays, blue and white, Argos, double blue, baby.
I love that you're including the Argos in there.
Well, they're a team. They're a
shout out to the Argos, baby. Argos,
they are a professional sports team here.
Yeah.
But then, like, TFC's red and the Raptors are red, too. Yeah. I always found it strange. I was just like, Toronto's such a blue and white town. Like, you think that they would all sort of go in that capacity. But I think they're going to end up being – and, like, blue and white is not really used across the NBA.
It's so, like, true.
When we had
true.
Those Huskies jerseys.
Nothing
like that really exists across the NBA, and red is everywhere. Everybody,
red and black are everywhere in the NBA.
Yes,
right.
Hawks.
Let's name them right now. We got to fill up some time. The Bulls.
The Rockets.
Trailblazers. The Rockets. Yeah. No, it's true. Like red and black are by far the most common color. Is by far the most common color combo in the NBA. I remember once like looking it up, and there's like 12 teams that have red and black in some combination as they're like at least one of their three colors. Right.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, you think they go purple? Cause we all have a lot of nostalgia and love for the purple, but like, blue and white. Also, I mean, we're tying that into the lead. Is that too? Like, I don't mind that the Raptors thing, and they have their own, they have their red thing going on. I know within the wider scope of the NBA, it's like whatever kind of, but within the city, it's like, okay, we got red for the Raptors. We got blue, obviously for the Jays and for the Leafs. I think go something wild. Get out there. Go green.
Green?
Green. Go like olive green. And
I would take black. I think the Drake colors would be fine.
Just for the this gold team. And black?
The gold and black. Do gold and black. I think that is becoming like a signature Toronto look.
That is, you're right. That is. I mean, yeah.
It's a little cooler, and I don't know what's cool, but like, you know, it's a little bit cooler than blue and white, perhaps.
I think it is. I think there's no doubt that it is. I do like the idea of blue and white in the NBA because, like, who do you have that does that at this point? Like, no one. Like the Timberwolves sort of have a blue and white kind of scheme. Mm-hmm. As part of it, like the Mavericks a bit.
But not the same blue. It's always like a different, it's a different, like that's and more like the Mavericks is more like a navy almost.
Yeah. And they used to have more of that, like Superman-ish blue when it was with the blue and the green though. And then I would say that that's more of a blue and a green combo. But yeah, no, it's a rarer color combo in the NBA, and then therefore I'd say in the WNBA as well. So maybe it is a good fit. The Toronto Shooters.
The Shooters.
That's like what I would name if I was writing a movie. That would be the name of the team in the movie that like my team had to play against. Just a generic ass name.
I would just love the like where the team doesn't have like a mascot-y nickname thing. It would be so cool to me. Like, I just love how soccer teams are like, just they're just football club.
Toronto I don't like that. Club.
Really? I would love for them to just go out and be like,
it's devoid of any personality. I don't like
it. We are the Toronto Basketball Club.
But look at all the stuff with the Raptors that comes with naming your team the Raptors, right? Like, I think it's pretty safe to say that our generation of Raptors fans, we were young enough to like be sort of up for it being called the Raptors. But then I think as we got older, especially in those like late Vince, early Bosch years, we were all like, the Raptors is such a fucking stupid name. Like, I can't believe we're named after Jurassic Park. Like, can you believe it? But then it's come full circle, I think, now where we once, like, you know, like the DeMar Kyle years happened, there's more pride attached to our team and therefore more pride attached to the name and the logo and everything. And now it's like, I love the Raptors. I love that we're the Raptors now, you know, like we've had this full genesis and full life cycle of this name that like, I couldn't imagine us being called anything else. And yeah, I think objectively, if you stand back, you look at the list of names and you're like, the Raptors, okay. But like all the fun stuff that's attached to it, we get to call our little thing Jurassic Park. We get, you know, we get all this dino themed stuff. It's like, okay, cool. I love that. Whereas like if we're like TFC, for example, our MLS team, I said that like people not from Toronto are listening to this, by the way. Obviously, you know what I'm talking about. TFC has none of that. We have the like supporters group. You know, and like, don't get me wrong. Hey, you're a TFC fan. Great. I support all Toronto teams and all Toronto fans. I'm just saying, like, I think it would be more fun if we had like a cool, like a fun little name for them.
It sounds really glad. I'm really glad that you
a fun little name. I want them to be called like the Cloud Heads or like the bird, the nest. They're in the nest and they're going wild for their worms.
Yeah,
the Toronto Seagulls.
They are called the Reds.
Great name. You know what I mean? Come on.
I'm glad that you went. You came all full circle on Raptors. I still think it's a little corny.
No, it's not. It lost its corniness. I fully think.
I think it was corny before, and now I think it's fine. I don't know. There's something very classy to me, and something very of a place. When you go like, we are the Toronto Basketball Club. Ugh. Like when the Washington, I'm not going to say their old team name, football, when they changed for 1 year, they were the Washington football, Washington like football team.
Yeah.
And I was like, that rules. I was like, that's really cool.
No way. That's boring. Yeah.
No.
The Commanders are also like not, to me, not a great name, but maybe I only think that because it's kind of new, but I'd much rather be the Washington Commanders than the Washington football team. Although there is something about being the only team in the league with a name like that.
It's kind of cool.
If you're the only name, maybe it's okay.
Yeah.
I want a name though. I want a name. I want to associate myself with either an animal or some sort of adjective or, you know, something, a verb like the Toronto Jump. I don't know. But then what are you? You know what I mean? We're an action. I don't like that.
Oh, that's, you cannot be a verb. You cannot be a verb or like an action.
Tell that to the WNBA. Like, I feel like there's a lot of stuff that of their names are like unconventional names like that. Like, I thought of the one I was thinking about. The Minnesota WNBA team is the Lynx. And it's like, oh, they're the men of the Timberwolves and we're the Lynx. It's like, man, come on.
I don't think the Lynx is that bad.
It's not a bad name. It's not even the worst Minnesota. It's just the tie-in. It's like, oh, we're a smaller version of the Wolf. You know what I mean? It's that. That's what it is to me.
The
it's
worst,
like, they're the Minnesota... big bad Wolves and we're the little cats. Like, I don't like that.
Okay.
What? That's what it feels like.
I haven't thought about it that hard.
I have.
No, but that's not even the worst Minnesota team name. The worst Minnesota team name is the Minnesota Wild.
The Wild. We're just all the animals in a forest.
Yeah, I guess, right? Or it's like it's a describing like the Wild. It's like calling somebody the it's the Hamilton crazy.
Yeah. Like,
what? The crazy what? The Wild what?
Oh, see, I think of it as a noun. Like, they're the Minnesota, like the Minnesota Wild is like the Minnesota outdoors.
That's exactly, you know, what they're going for, and okay, I understand it. But when I hear it, I don't. Nobody says it that way,
right?
Like
right.
I hear it as an open ended, like Minnesota Wild.
I mean, it's a double entendre.
You feel like there should be something else there. It's a verb. The
Minnesota Wild beasts. Did you know that their logo is a bear?
Yeah,
I did. No. I thought it was like a cougar or something, but apparently it's a bear.
Oh.
Anyways, take that.
Anyways, the Toronto Bears.
I wouldn't mind being the Toronto Bears. That's okay. Someone's going to suggest they be like the Raccoons or something, but that's a terrible name. You don't want to be, I don't think you want to be associated with the hated pests of the city. You know?
No, I can't stand raccoons. I've had to clean up dead baby raccoons off of my patio in the past.
Oh, like, God. It's just,
I can tell you stories about the problems we've had with those raccoons.
Stuff. One time a raccoon took a dump on my like back patio of my old apartment, and like, it's like, don't touch the raccoon shit. Like,
you can't touch it.
You gotta be so careful around it. Like, it was nuts.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Basically a raccoon gave birth on my, on my patio. And, I found the raccoon exactly after it happened. And then, she was able to rescue some of the babies, but some of the babies had perished as the woman from the city, she came and helped me through it. It was so gross, man. They did it in a chair. I had to like package up the chair in like numerous garbage bags and take it to the dump. Oh, listen, we're not calling the WNBA team the Raccoons. Just
oh my God.
If you suggest it, you're a moron. You're
what a
moron.
Harrowing tale from you.
Oh, that's like only half of it too. I don't want to derail this basketball.
No, I've already derailed it enough. Now think of these poor baby raccoons.
I had to pick up one of the babies and throw it out.
Okay. You said you weren't going to say it anymore.
Well, you know,
you started saying it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, okay. There's a ton of injuries in the NBA. Getting back to our basketball podcast here. People are injured, man. Scottie's out. Obviously, Yak's out. Jamal Murray, Jalen Brunson, Russell Westbrook, Giannis, Donovan Mitchell. These are big players that are out.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the NBA has this big thing about like, hey, don't rest these guys too much. We want to see them when people come watch. We want to see them play.
Yeah.
But now it's like, well, you know, we're getting into like crunch time here. And like, what? The best players in the league just aren't playing because they're injured? Like, what are we doing? What happens? What's worse? Like this is messed up.
I don't know. I don't know that this is just a decision between the two. Like, I don't think it's like, hey, allow more resting and you will get less injuries, because like both, I feel like both sides don't make good faith arguments either way about mm-hmm. resting and injuries. Mm-hmm. So I feel like the people who want players to play more can cherry pick data and point to stuff that goes like, actually there's no correlation between resting more and injuries mm-hmm. just kind of happen, and the opposite argument can also be made for that too. So I don't know that this is just like necessarily like a choice between like, hey, if we allowed the players to rest more there would be less injuries to high profile players. I don't know. I don't know the science of it. I don't know who's right. I don't know who's wrong. I think that we just probably notice this stuff more because there are so few players on the court during a game. And the roster size is much smaller. So when one person goes down, and like these are some of their team's best players, you're just going to notice that a lot more. You're going to feel that a lot more than you are in like, you know, football or the NHL or something like that, with these like larger roster sizes that also deal with injuries. There's tons of every single year. It feels like we're talking about how many injuries there are. Oh my gosh, the injuries are getting crazy. And I don't have any data to back this up, but I would imagine they're largely the same year over year.
I it's funny when you ask a question when you're like hosting a show and you ask a question that, you know, you don't like, kind of a leading question that you don't really agree with, because I'm definitely in the camp of I'm with the data that's like resting doesn't actually help prevent injuries. How does resting help you prevent a broken hand because some guy stepped on it or something? You know what I mean? Like, I think you could really weave a tale and be like, well, your decision making might be better if you're less tired. But I don't think guys are that tired when they're playing in the middle of a game where they're like, do I put my hand under this guy's foot or not? You know what I mean? It's like, no, I think the true data does back that up, that resting doesn't actually make a major benefit when it comes to injuries. So I think the real question is like number of games that, like, obviously was never going to get changed because the owners will never take away any number of games in a season of any sport. But that to me is where, like, when you really do get to the end of, and like, especially talking about the playoffs, like some guys get into the playoffs and they're halfway into the playoffs and their bodies just start shutting down, you know, like that's when you see those type of wear and tear, I think. Injuries really make a major impact. That's where I'd be like, okay, what if the season was 10 games shorter? How would that affect the playoffs? Does that have a real impact? I think that's pie in the sky dreaming type stuff. And because you're never going to get anyone to change the number of games in any major sport. I really truly believe that. If anything, they're going to add more. Like,
I know,
add a guy to the court and be like, okay, now it's 6-on-6 and there's 100 games a season. You know, like that's more likely, I think.
I know there's no way to put the toothpaste back in the tube after it. There's no way to drop this down to 65 games or 70 or whatever the number is that everyone feels like will limit injuries and also provide more competition. What, you know, even when you're getting down into, like, if you're looking at like the competition aspect of this and how are these games going to feel more competitive? How is a random game in February going to feel better to watch or more exciting to watch? Dropping them from 82 to 68 isn't going to do that. It's still 68 games. That's a lot of games to watch over the course of a season. You know, and in terms of the resting argument, I've always been like, yeah, let them rest. Like, I don't know. Just let them do it, I guess. I'm not a person who's just like, the best players should be out there every single night for my enjoyment.
I mean, you say that until you buy like a $150 ticket and then you're at the game and you're like, wait, I came to see Raptors Bucks and Scotty and Giannis aren't playing. You'd be like, what? Like, that's disappointing. You're still seeing a fun thing. You're still seeing an NBA game with NBA players and good and really good players, you know? But it would be a bummer if you missed out on, you know, LeBron or the, you know, you've never seen LeBron James. You get the Lakers game and LeBron's not playing and you're like, well, shit. Yeah, it would have been cool to see the greatest player ever play a game in person, you know?
For sure. I understand that argument. I completely get it. I'm just saying, when I sit down to play a game of Magic, I don't necessarily anticipate playing a game of Magic. Which is a deep cut. Nobody's going to understand.
Wow.
No, I just think that I don't know.
Marshall Sutcliffe and limited resources.
I just understand that. I don't know. I think the season is too long, and I do think that while I don't know that there is a correlation between playing more and actually getting injured more, I do think that these players should be able to like take maintenance games.
Fair. I think generally you got just it's most striking a balance, which is I think is what we got going on right now. What NBA? Okay, a lot of teams are in the dumper right now. Some teams slowly crawling out. Raptors are in and out. We don't know what's happening. What NBA franchise do you think is in the worst spot from like an overall like franchise perspective? Like, we're building a franchise here towards championships. I'm not necessarily saying who's the worst team in the NBA record wise. That's very clear to look at. Who do you think is like, oh, what are these guys doing? Like, where are they going? They, you know,
Do you know, so I had an interesting answer for this, because this is a team that could still potentially win a championship this season.
Interesting. I love it. Okay.
But, and I wouldn't necessarily say this now. A couple weeks ago, though, I was very much like, what the fuck are the Milwaukee Bucks doing?
Oh, okay.
Because it did not seem, it was not going well. They were, they have a good record. But
very good.
Damian Lillard seems so unhappy in Milwaukee that I was concerned.
Really? Okay.
A lot of the interviews he's given, it does not seem that he likes it there. And, they brought Doc Rivers in, who, I think is not a fix sometimes.
Yeah. Right. Feels like somehow he's going to make it worse.
And that Damian Lillard trade was such a huge swing for them that thing kind of needs to work out. It feels like it needs to work out for them, and they need to be in actual contention mode. And they they traded away Drew Holiday, and now he winds up on the Celtics, and the Celtics are just steamrolling everybody. And it's like, it might have been good to keep on to Drew Holiday a little bit. And Dame Lillard's comments in the media about how lonely he was, how he didn't have a life there. It was just stuff where you're like, he misses his family, which is all like super legit stuff. Like, oh my God, of course. Like,
of course.
All of his family lived in Portland, and he's a family guy, and they all lived in the same neighborhood, and he saw everybody every day and stuff. And he just seemed so unhappy that I was like, I'm very concerned about this franchise.
You're very concerned about the 41-21 Milwaukee Bucks.
I have a lot of concerns about the 41-21 21 Bucks. Listen, I can sit here and say like, oh, it's the Pistons, or oh, it's the Hornets, or whatever. But like, the team that I've been thinking the most about and going like, huh, is everything okay over there? Has been the Milwaukee Bucks.
Okay, I have two answers for this. I think the real and actual answer is probably like the Wizards, because what's happening?
Sure.
The poor Wizards don't seem to have anything going for them. Why would you ever want to play there? All that kind of stuff. And this is in the same vein as what you got going on, except that it's maybe even worse. And people are going to be mad, but
Toronto Raptors. Let's go. Let's do it, baby.
Raptors. Scotty Barnes is not as good.
Scotty Barnes has got to go. He's not living up to the hype. Let's go.
No, my answer is the Los Angeles Lakers, because I know they will always be okay. Mm-hmm. They are the stalwart. They're the center of the league. The league revolves around them. They've got LeBron James. It's never going to be that bad for the Lakers. Mm-hmm. But I just can't help but like watch a team with like LeBron and AD on it being like this kind of middling, like, you know, play-in team, and just being like, man, what's going on with you guys? You know, like, yeah. I'd give anything to have a player of that caliber play on the Raptors for more than 1 year. And, you know, and the Lakers get those guys all the time. And it's worked out for them in the past. I mean, it's worked out for them with this iteration of the Lakers. They've won a championship, obviously. Is it a real one? You know, who knows?
Some would say that it was the hardest one.
Some
are saying that. LeBron James is saying that. But like,
some on the team are saying
that. Some on the team have said that this was the hardest one of all time.
But, you know, it's just like, brawny talk, like, does LeBron run the team? Like, kind of, right? You can't do anything without LeBron's approval. Yeah. This whole thing with the Warriors about him, like, you know, maybe he was talking to the Warriors or the Warriors were like, you know, taking a look at what was possible in a move for LeBron and how that would work. And like, that's just LeBron working. We all know, right? He's a master manipulator when it comes to this type of stuff, and he's manipulating the quote greatest franchise, you know, and he's just doing it effortlessly every day before our eyes. And, you know, it's not like they won the play-in turn, not the play-in tournament,
the in-season tournament.
Like, yes. I guess that's great. I don't know. This team is doomed for many years to come, but it is kind of like a man. Imagine we had AD on our team. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's what it's like. They get him and like, what the hell?
I think it's so funny to watch. So I think there are a lot of question marks around the Los Angeles Lakers right now. I don't know if LeBron's going to be on that team next year. It would not, honestly, not surprise me if he wasn't, but I find it so like fun and funny that LeBron James is doing classic LeBron James shit to the Lakers.
Yes, I know, like, exactly.
I expect this type of stuff. You do this type of stuff to Cleveland.
Yes.
Every day of the week.
All day.
10 times out of 10.
Yeah. I can name like, 10 players in the league right now who could do that to Cleveland. You know? Like, no problem.
Every day you'd be wearing the other team's towel. yeah. If you played on Cleveland, you'd just be like, every day, Cleveland, you are on notice.
Yeah. But and Cleveland knows it and they're fine with it. You know?
Yeah. And like, they're just like, well, of course we are on notice.
Obviously, obviously, please don't leave. Yeah.
Yeah. But to watch him do it to the Lakers and then to the Lakers also just kind of shrug it off a little bit and just go like, yeah, well, like, you know, before the trade deadline, he's wearing the Knicks towel and like maybe he's getting floated out to like Golden State or something like that. And then the Lakers turn around and do like nothing to improve the team at the trade deadline because they don't have any assets. They don't have anything exactly. they can't actually do, but they're not even making desperation moves of like, okay, we'll trade that one last final pick that we have or whatever. So it's really funny to watch LeBron to me. To watch LeBron do this to the one of the biggest, most storied franchises of all time, and also have it like, eh, not really. Like nobody in LA is sitting there going like, "Oh my God, LeBron might leave." They're like, "He's going to leave eventually." Players are for a set amount of time. The Lakers are eternal, is what they feel like, right?
Yes.
So like, yeah, whatever. There'll be a new LeBron after this. There were LeBrons before you. There will be LeBrons after you.
No, I know what you mean. Garrett.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just find it fascinating. I'm right there with you that he's doing it to the like the most storied franchise. And he's able to do it with ease. Okay. Let's wrap this up with some MVP talk. It's starting to heat up here. I'm seeing some absolutely wild takes that on social media about who should be winning the MVP this year. I think it's pretty easily broken down to a top three. And it's obviously, I think obviously Nikola Jokic, Luka Doncic and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. That's just what we're seeing. That's what everyone's seeing. I think if you've seen these guys play, I think it's undeniable. Okay. I'll just ask you quickly. So we understand what we're saying. Who is your MVP this year so far?
I would love to give it, I think Jokic is probably going to win.
Yeah.
But I would like to see it go to our Canadian guy, because we always have to cheer for the Canadians.
You have to. He might come here when he's in his later years.
Yeah, I would love to see Gilgeous Alexander get it, because he's just so consistent. It's been such a breakout year, and he's been so consistently incredible for that team. What are the wild things that you're seeing out there?
I'm seeing a lot of talk from Celtics fans talking that Jason Tatum needs to win MVP. And
I think I saw something that Jason Tatum was just like, no.
No, I didn't see that. Oh, that's wild. Okay, that's good. I've seen Knicks fans talk about Jalen Brunson needs to win MVP. And whenever it's guys like this, obviously these are great players. Obviously these are standout franchise players who are making a major impact on their franchise. But it's always that thing of like, well, the MVP should be the best player on the team having the biggest impact. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's part of it. This is the thing. Like, everyone always breaks down the MVP discussion in like, it has to be either this or this. And really, it's you have to have a major impact on your team. You have to be the most valuable player to your team, but also you do have to be the most valuable player in the league for the most part. I think like sports writers voting on it can change that from year to year, essentially. But I think that's, it's right. It needs to have aspects of both things. And just because I think the winner, Luka Doncic, plays with like Kyrie and like they're both having good years and everything. I think people are like kind of using that as an excuse. Like, well, there's another great player on his team, so like he's not the MVP. I think he is very much so, though, personally. I think he's having a crazy year. It's like, I think him and Shai are having the most like fun MVP years. Mm-hmm. Jokic is Jokic. He's like obviously so good and 100% also deserves it. Any of these three guys deserve it, I think. But I think we could see Doncic win this because of the feeling around how good he, like when I'm seeing when he has a big night, like it's everywhere. people are talking about Luka like crazy. He had that big, obviously, that what, 70, was it 72? Yeah, right? He had 72 points? Or was that? No, yeah, yeah. He had 72-point game. I mixed it up with the Cat game, but that was 62. Because it was on the same night. Anyways, yeah, I think it's Luka. I think Luka's going to win it, too, because there's this thing of like, well, you know, when guys have already won, they're going to win. And I think Shea's like, well, he's not there just yet. Like, they're going to have that kind of thing. And I think Luka's right in the middle for a bunch of sports writers to pick him as the winner.
It could, too, because notoriously, the people who vote on this award do not like to give it three times to anybody.
Yeah.
And that's not even necessarily three times in a row. That's just three times in general. So, like, you know, over the past however many years you want to look back, you know, it's basically Michael Jordan and LeBron James who have won it more than twice. But, you know, Steph Curry gets two. Giannis gets two.
Shaq had two, right?
Jokic had two. Steve Nash had two. Tim Duncan had two.
And it's funny to be funny because that Steve Nash, like, I know there's like, is it the first or second time? I can't remember. But there's like one of the years where it was like everyone was like, Shaq should win this. And then they give it to Steve Nash because they're like, well, Shaq can't have three. So yeah, I don't know. It's there's a weird like calculus of like the numbers for some reason people have. I love it when guys go on award runs. I think it should happen all the time. It's really, I think it's wicked. Mm-hmm. So I'm certainly not going to be unhappy if Joker does take it. Okay, that's probably pretty good, I think. What do you think?
Hey, I think that was really great.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's it then. Oh, there you okay. go. That's great. It then. I think so. You know, I think it's a weird time for the Raptors. It's a weird time, but it's a fun season in the NBA. That's for sure. And we're gonna keep hacking away at it every week here on Confederacy of Dunks. Hey, I'm just gonna say it before you do. Check out Space Janitors May 4th. It's coming out. It's a web series. Brendo and I are in. It's gonna be great. Brendo, you got anything else you want to say before we get out of here?
No.
No, great. All right, guys. Well, yeah, stick with it. Thanks for hanging around with us. Come on back to Raptors Republic. All the time, immediately after games, before games, tons of coverage here. It's great. And thanks to FanDuel. And guys, we'll see you next week.